Now, I have a story of a very different kind of a Christmas. It's written by a rather remarkable girl named Amy Beth Larson. She works with Child Evangelism Fellowship in Lakewood, Colorado. She wrote this in her usual letter. The first Christmas there was a choir of angels. Now the weight of glory has fallen on smaller shoulders. Little voices proclaiming a Savior that came. My kids can yell, cuss, and scream with the best of them. They live in a world where it takes a lot of volume to be heard over the chaos of their lives. When they scream, I cringe. But when they sing, I celebrate God's goodness. Maybe you've guessed by now that Amy Beth Larson works in the inner city. She goes on to say, somewhere beyond the noise, if you listen hard enough, you can hear Manuel singing, God loves me, God loves me, as he stands outside his trash-laden yard, wondering why his mom isn't home to let him in. His song pierces the night. Or maybe you hear Brittany singing, God is my refuge and strength, as she runs up and down the sidewalk with her six cousins. She sings to occupy her mind and to drown out the traffic flying by on the busy corner. It's a weekday afternoon. You might hear 30 neighborhood kids and a handful of volunteers in different keys singing, My God is so great. 2,000 years later, the angels are still singing. As my kids sing, I can't help but think, what if Jesus had been born on the west side of Lakewood? What if he gave his first cry in the back of a 69 Chevy racing to get to Denver General Hospital? He might have grown up in the red projects across the street from the church with his uncles, aunts, grandma, and a ragtag army of brothers, sisters, and cousins. He would have played in the city parks among broken glass and then been careful not to kick the soccer ball where the drunks were slumped over on the ground. He would have become a man in a world where kids watch their backs and worry about the color of their skin. He would have sung on the street corner. But Jesus was born on the east side of the world nearly 2,000 years ago. And because of that, not a day slips away that you don't see Jesus on the west side every time you hear his children's songs. Amy Beth goes on to say, Have I ever told you about Eddie? He's dubbed himself the McDaddy and simply calls me Miss. He's a wiry little fourth grader who rules his corner of the neighborhood. He's functionally illiterate and was likely born with fetal alcohol syndrome. His skinny body and its angry spirit have caused concern to anybody who ever took the time to care. Eddie is a product of alcohol, poverty, and violence. His stepdad, whom he had lived with, was set up and murdered in front of his house last summer. His mom spends herself balancing on the edge of depression and often doesn't have the energy for Eddie and his brother and sister. Eddie has a lot to be angry about. He comes to church two times a week, one afternoon for tutoring and another for Bible club. He never remembers to bring his homework, but he never forgets to bring his anger. In 9 years, he's had a lifetime of tragedy. Eddie tests all the limits, but somehow has won all of our hearts. I've been spending time with Eddie, and we get together 2 to 3 times a week. Sometimes it's hard to see the benefits, especially when I'm dodging rocks that he's throwing at me. But I love Eddie and can't seem to get him off my mind or out of my prayers. I keep a picture of him on my desk next to a quote of Pat Conroy's that says, Larceny is an easy crime to condone unless you know that your child was the item stolen. Eddie is destitute, a black hole of need. But who knows? Eddie might be the next Peter or Paul in the making. I always ask him if he liked the Bible story, and he doesn't hesitate to say, No, miss, it was stupid. One time I asked him if he liked Jesus. He looked at me with big brown eyes, smiled, as only Eddie can, and said, Yes, miss, I do. As I stare into a starry Christmas sky, I let my mind wander through the past year. My worries and anxious thoughts for what's to come are silenced by the sweet memories of God's goodness. His faithfulness has far outweighed our hard times, and his peace reigned, even in chaos. And hope still shines, like a star over Bethlehem. And Amy ends her letter with the verse from Matthew 2:10, "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed." And at the very bottom of the page, she writes, "Peace and hope to you as we celebrate the baby king." That was a vivid picture to me of what Christmas must mean, or normally must not mean, to the children of the inner city. Do you know someone like Eddie? Someone who would be just as happy to throw rocks at you, but yet comes to Bible class or comes to Sunday school? Let's never forget the word of Christ himself. "Inasmuch as you have done it for one of these little ones, you have done it for me."